The Mickey Miles Podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at MEI-travel.com or mousefantravel.com.
And by All-Star Vacation Homes, who are offering a last-minute Orlando vacation special. This special runs from September 22nd to December 19th, and you would get a fifth night free when you stay for four nights. To take advantage of this special, call 1-866-385-5384. And for more information, please visit them at www.allstarvacationhomes.com.
Hey, this is Lee Zimmerman from San Diego, California, and I love the Mickey Miles Podcast.
This is the Mickey Miles Podcast. From 5K fun runs to full marathons, this is the podcast that helps you learn everything you need to know about running Disney races. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles Podcast, Michelle Scribner-McLean and Mike Scopa.
Welcome to episode 232. Of the Mickey Miles Podcast. My name is Mike Scopa from WDW Today and touringplans.com. And with me on the show is Michelle Scribner-McLean. Michelle, it's Christmas time.
Am I going to get lots of fun runner gifts, you think? I've been a very good girl this year.
Yeah, but you run so much, I think I'm going to buy you a whole running store.
Oh, that would be nice. That would be nice. Hey, Mike, are you? How's your training going for January races?
Oh, every Saturday and Sunday, I'm running every day. Every Saturday and Sunday, nothing gets in the way.
You just made a running poem. Very nice.
Oh yeah,
that was good.
I think I'm ready. I mean, I'm not in the best of shape, but I can go out and run 13 miles. I'm just hoping that everybody else who's training for something other than just the half. In January, hope they're ready.
Wow. I wonder who that was directed to. Was that me? Okay. So I have a shout out today, and that is to all of our friends who are Mickey Milers and Mickey Miles podcast listeners who recently ran the Gingerbread Run for Give Kids the World and heard it was a fabulous event. And we're so happy that our listeners and Mickey Milers support Give Kids the World. It's the charity that the Mickey Milers run for, and it's just an extraordinary place. So congratulations.
You know what they say, Michelle?
No, Mike, what do they say?
Children are our future.
Yes, they are our future.
What are we doing today?
It's questions. We get letters. Yeah. We get lots and lots of letters. Questions. You ready?
You are always first with questions.
Okay. So our first question is from Michael Corbett, who is from Lehi, Utah. And he says, I know that I'm very late in the game for this one, but I thought I would ask, do you know of any way that I could still get a bib for the Star Wars half in January? Any suggestions or leads would be appreciated. What do you think, Michael?
I think, Michael, you're out of luck. I hate to say it, but we want to be truthful for several reasons. Number one, it's all sold out. And number two, even if you were able to, the only way you could get a bib would be if someone who has already signed up went and picked up his or her bib and then gave it to you.
We're not encouraging that.
No, we're not encouraging that, but that's the only way, because you cannot pick up, starting with the Avengers weekend, you could not pick up a bib for a friend or a foe or a relative. So I think that, unfortunately, you're out of luck.
Michael, if you look on the Run Disney website and you look under the Star Wars Half Weekend Marathon, right at the very top, there's a little information bubble. It says registration is still available for the Star Wars Half Marathon Weekend through our charity groups and travel providers. So there are actually many, many charity organizations. I would say only about 10% of the ones listed on there are sold out. So let's look at one of them here, Alex's Lemonade Stand or alexslemonade.org. If you click on that, you can apply for the Star Wars weekend. I don't know how much money you have to to raise for these different charities, but it looks like there are plenty of charity bibs available. Now, in terms of travel agents, there are some travel providers who are still providing bibs. You would have to buy a package with them, I'm sure, to stay at Disneyland. And then it looks like Acclaim Travel, Adventures by Disney, Dream Travel, Get Travel, and Show Fox Athletics all still have bibs. Our buddy Becky at MEI, her bibs are sold out, but there are still places that you can book with to get a bib for the Star Wars weekend. So that's good news for people.
It's very interesting how Mouse Fan Travel is the only travel provider that's sold out, but interesting.
I think it depends on how many bibs they're given, right?
I'm sure that's one of the reasons. Yeah. But so, Michael, there you have it. Those are the two avenues that you can go to look for a Star Wars bib. So good luck and let us know how you make out.
I would very much like, Michael, if you end up going one of these routes, if you let us know how successful you were, and hopefully you'll get to run this race if you want to, because they do sell out quickly.
Good luck. Our next question comes from Michelle McNally, who says, "Hi, Mike and Michelle."
That's a great name.
McNally.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm so glad I found your podcast. It keeps me informed on all the Run Disney events and helps me to know what to expect. I have two questions on one of the recent question shows. A question was asked about the right shoes. I have plantar fasciitis in both feet, so my feet always hurt after a run. Does that mean I still haven't found the right shoes? All right, Michelle, we'll take one question at a time. So does having that condition mean she hasn't found the right shoe?
Well, first, the disclaimer. We're not podiatrists here. And I don't actually have plantar fasciitis. I know that you don't either, correct? And so this is a tricky and, from what I understand, very painful thing. It could be your shoes. I think that for me, if I were going to brainstorm how to attack this problem, Michelle, what I would do is, I happen to have a really good podiatrist. So when I have issues, I go to him right away and talk to him about what is bothering me. So I think that's the route that I would go. There can be so many different variables with any of these things that people suffer through when they're running. And I would hate to say, yeah, try another pair of shoes and then go and spend money at the running store and it'd still be an issue. So I would actually step back and go see somebody to help you with this one. I wouldn't try to problem solve this one on your own. What do you think, Mike?
I don't think Michelle McNally I'm talking to. I don't think, Michelle, that the shoes are as important as what Michelle Scribner McLean just said, and that is to go see a podiatrist, have him or her take a look at your feet, give you some professional medical advice. I'm sure that rest is going to be part of that, but like Michelle said, we're not doctors, we don't know. We've just talk about what we've learned from other people.
I'm a doctor. I'm just not that type of
doctor. You do play one on television.
I just play one on the podcast.
So I think going to the podiatrist, see what the podiatrist has to say, and then see what happens from there. Everyone always wonders about shoes, and then sometimes they can be a problem, and sometimes they are not the problem. But let us know what you find out, and because I'm hoping that whatever you find out could help others or give them an idea of what they have to do to take care of their problems.
All right. I think Michelle has a second question,
too. We have a second question, and it says, "My running buddy and I are doing our first Run Disney event in February, the 5K and the 10K. Mike was talking about the Dopey Challenge last year and said he counted 200 people in line for a character photo. Is that what I should expect for all the characters? And if so, how long does it take to get through a line like that? Do the photographers push people through as fast as possible? We aren't planning on setting any land speed records, but I also don't want to get swept because we waited in line too long." Michelle, you were there. What do you think?
Well, this is a great question. I don't think you actually counted 200, but it was about 120.
No, it was close to 200. I think it was... You're right, Michelle. It wasn't 200, but it was around one. I think it was around 170.
Okay, so the bottom line is there are lots of people in line for these characters. And we were at Avengers weekend. It was the same thing, Captain America, you know, different characters there. It was the same type of thing. So I know that one of our running friends waited in line in one of these extraordinarily long lines. I think it was Eddie McCoy or somebody else was telling us it took I know who it was. It was Celeste Baird. And I think she said it took 25 minutes with Captain America. So if things stay the way they are, I think that you should anticipate that you're going to be able to wait in line for one or two characters. You know, I don't know if Run Disney is doing anything about the lines of, you know, maybe adding more characters. I hope that's something that they do coming up. But when you have, this is the 5K that she's talking about or the 10K? If when you have 6,000 up to 26,000 people running these races, you really need to consider there are going to be a lot of people in line. So I would get as far up in your corral as you can. Think about how many characters that you want to see. I would say, you know, leave your favorite two. And then in terms of weight, the characters, you know, the photographers, they go as fast as they can. But if you have 200 people in line, that's still, you know, they're taking a picture every 30 seconds, every 20 seconds. It's still a lot. Mike?
I think you give good advice, Michelle. I think I would make a list of 10 characters who I would want to have my picture taken with. And don't spare the, you know, think of every single possible character. And then say, okay, who are my top two? Those would be, that would be the limit. And then say, okay, so if I come across these two characters and I can have my photo taken with them during a race, would I? And so then you have to think about, okay, so how many people is too many people in line before I would say, that's it? Our friend Holly Allen, I think she says 10 is her, is it 10?
10, wow, I don't
know. I'm not sure. But I mean, think about it that way. Think about, okay, if I come across Mickey Mouse and there are 10 or fewer people, I will get in line. But if there are more than 10, I won't. I think those are the things you have to decide before the race.
You know, the other thing too is, I think the 5K has become for me the race where I take pictures, and the other races are not. And one of the reasons is the 5K isn't timed. It's a fun run. It's a fun walk. So you could actually kind of sprint to the first character and get in a good spot, and then sprint from character to character, or just take your time with the characters that you want. So I think the 5K really, Mike, a lot of times these races you see the same characters in the 5 and the 10K, 5K, 10K, half and full, you see some of the same things. So that would be the one that I would target that you're going to do your picture taking.
I think you're right. And for that weekend, I think if I wanted to have my photo taken with Dopey, it would be during the 5K.
Mm-hmm. I agree. So the next question is from JC Wallace, and she says, I'm a newish runner from Southern California, currently living in STL, which I guess is St. Louis, and going to school. I just started listening to your podcast and thought it was extremely helpful, especially when it comes to running Disney races. I registered for the Tinkerbell last year on a whim and put together my training pretty late in the game. I finished the whole half marathon slowly, but surely, and I didn't stop once, which was my overall goal. I had a few questions, and I was wanting to ask because I'm running Tinkerbell again in May, and I decided as a graduation present to myself to get my coast to coast this year by doing Wine and Dine this coming November. My questions are the following. When listening to your show, I know you've had Jeff Galloway on, who's an advocate for the walk-run method. Is this really common in half marathon racing? I was always under the impression that most runners actually run the entire race. But is it more common to do a walk-run method in the racing world? Do you guys use one? Michael?
Good question, JC. Over the last several years, the run-walk-run method has become very popular. And because of that popularity, more people are doing marathons. I mean, half marathons, and I guess marathons too. A few years ago, I began trying out this run, walk, run method because Michelle and I were doing a half marathon in January, and then there was the Chippendale marathon relay the next day. So we had to figure out how best to do that. That was the first time we were doing major back-to-back races. So we adopted the run, walk, run method. I don't know if you could say it's the common way of doing a race. I just know that a lot of people are doing it. Personally, if you had to ask me, I would say that maybe 55% of the people still try to run the whole thing. Michelle and I have both run the whole distance before. We don't do it anymore, though I'm thinking about trying to do it again. You should not feel that it's any less of an accomplishment because you do run, walk, run, because, you know, some people just need to do that. And you're still negotiating 13.1 miles or 26.2 if you're doing the full. So whatever works for you is what you should think about doing.
Okay, so the reason that I went to run, walk, run is because of what Mike said, but also because I noticed that two things. Number one, my injuries became less as I did run, walk, run. And actually, in many cases, my time improved. I actually went faster when I did walk intervals. I trained with Jeff Galloway, and it helped out. I would say, actually, the number, Mike, maybe is a little bit more for Disney races in terms of percentage. Maybe 60%? I don't know. However, when I go to my local races, it's becoming more prevalent, but it's more like 10% of the people do it. So I agree with Mike. We've talked about it many times on the show. You're still crossing the start line. You're still crossing the finish line, and you do it however you want to. But for me, the bottom line, the reason that I do it is because I want to keep on running, and I tend to run, as many of us are doing, these multiple day races, and it keeps your legs fresh. I did Dopey one run, walk, run, and I felt absolutely terrific right after the marathon and that whole weekend. So I think that if you want to keep running and do multiple races and stay injury free, it's a really great way to do it. Yes? Okay. So her next question is, after finishing Tinkerbell, I kept walking around for a little and seemed to be fine. However, by the time I got back to my hotel, my whole lower body was locked up and I could hardly bend my legs. I could barely walk up the stairs to my room. Is this something common that happens after the race? If so, how can I prevent it? Thanks so much for your help, JC. Michael?
So, JC, I think that a lot of people, when they do their very first half marathon, aren't really sure what's to do next. And for many people, they say, okay, I got to get back to my hotel. I have to take a shower. And then, I'm going to lie down and relax. What happens is that when you put your body through an hour or two or three of doing constant running and moving, you know, you build up lactic acid and you build up a lot of things. You also put your muscles at the limit. And if you're not drinking, there's some cramping that will take place. So I think the best advice that anyone that can give you, not just us, but a lot of people, is try to keep moving as much as possible after you complete a race. Try to get that lactic acid out of the way. Try to get your muscles back in shape. I know that it sounds kind of productive that you'd want to keep moving after running and walking a distance like that. But when you say you got back to your hotel, your whole lower body was locked up. You could hardly bend your legs, and you could barely walk up the stairs to the room. You have to move around as much as possible. Make sure that you drink and eat something immediately after the race. Don't be afraid to drink two bottles of water or whatever. Just make sure that your body is given every opportunity to recover, and I'm hoping that would help. But one of the things that you definitely don't want to do is just sit down and not move for a while after you've completed a race or a long distance race. You just have to keep moving, because otherwise your body will say, okay, I'm just going to relax here, and all the lactic acid is going to pool up, and something's going to happen.
So I'm going to agree with you, and then take a slightly different take on this too. Similar things have happened to me, JC, and just in my experience, I've found that happens more frequently when I haven't put the time into training. And I'm not saying that you did this. I don't know the situation. But for me, when I've had a hard time right after a race, it's because I haven't trained as much as I should. I know that, for example, for most half marathons recently, I haven't had any pain at all, but I didn't put the amount of training that I wanted to when I prepared for Avengers. And it was the first time in a long time that I had pain in my legs the next day and later on that same afternoon. And so to me, that was the pattern. When I put the training in, the bounce back, the recovery is a lot faster. What do you think about that, Mike?
I think you're right, Michelle. I think that's part of it because what happens is that as we train, we're actually training our bodies to recover. We're training our bodies to understand what we are asking of them. And the body is a fascinating machine, and it learns how to recover quickly. So I'm sure that's part of it. I think you're right, Michelle.
Okay. Are we ready for the next one, Mike?
Yep. And I believe it's me. And this question comes from Heather Richards Pickford. And she says, so does anyone else find on race day that you wear the same attire each time? I am running a turkey trot today, and I am wearing almost the same outfit I wore at the 2010 Walt Disney World Half Marathon. Well, Michelle, why don't you take a stab at this one?
Well, I think that everybody has their favorites, definitely. I have a favorite shirt that I will grab more than any other when I'm going to do my training. I know for us, we wear our Mickey Milers shirts, but I also have a favorite skirt that I wear. So, you know, things that I pay attention to are, you know, what feels comfortable, what doesn't pinch in the wrong place, which type of clothing makes me chafe less than others, what's going to prepare me for the different elements. So those are the types of things that I look for. But I think for me, the turkey trot, I'm not going to be wearing the same thing as I usually wear because it's going to be very, very cold probably in New Hampshire. And I do a lot of my racing in Florida. Mike?
One of the rules you always hear runners tell new runners is that don't do anything new on race day. This means do not wear any new shoes, new socks, new shorts, new tops, whatever. Try to run something with something that's very, very comfortable. So if you are doing this, Heather, then my guess is that you're very comfortable with whatever you wear. So if that's the case, that's fine. I mean, you shouldn't feel badly about it. Michelle knows that there's one particular shirt that I love to run in as much as possible. And when it comes to race time, I'm wearing, of course, my Mickey Milers. But before I ran in a race with the Mickey Milers shirt, I trained in it. So again, it's one of those things where if you're comfortable with something, then don't worry about changing it.
Mike, the shirt that you like, isn't it your first Coast to Coast shirt? Isn't that the one you like?
My first and only Coast to Coast shirt. I mean, I could have purchased others, but they have changed over the years. It's a real nice techie shirt, and it's comfortable.
And for me, I have a few of these Lululemon Run Swiftly shirts, which are on the expensive side, but I just love, 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 love the way they feel. And those are my go-to shirts. I have two or three of them. All right. The next question is from Matthew Kelly. He says, just a quick question idea. This year when I ran my first Disney race, the Princess 10K, I had no issue finishing the race. However, the skin on my feet felt differently. Without the gory details, I lost about half of the skin on both feet due to blisters. In my training, blisters have never been an issue. You might want to do a show about climate changes in training, cold climate, and then racing in hotter, more humid climate. I really wish I'd known this before the race, how to prepare the race, body glide, socks, all of which I did not know the existence of until after I ran the race. Oh, Matthew, I'm sorry. If anyone can avoid 2 weeks of bandaged feet and associated pain, it might be worth the discussion. Mike?
Well, Matthew, I know that from time to time we have talked about body glide. Everyone is different. No two people are alike, and therefore no two people can wear the same paraphernalia on race day. There are a few things that a lot of runners do to take steps to prevent injuries. I know that Michelle uses body glide a lot. I use Vaseline more. One of the things that I've learned to do, I've been very lucky. I've never really had any issues with blisters. One of the things that I know that some people do is they try to have as tight as possible shoes fitting. And I have actually
tight.
I actually have friends who don't wear socks when they run. And what they do, though, Matt, is they will take powder and they will put powder in their shoes of foot powder that will absorb moisture, so there's no moisture. I believe that blisters are caused by rubbing and moisture.
Yeah, that's why I'm wondering why you're saying tight.
Because if it's tight, then there's no movement. There's not as much movement. Oh. So for a lot of people, that works. Again, it's different from others. What I would suggest, Matt, is that if you've never had these troubles before, you may want to give it a try. Take some foot powder, throw it into your socks. You know, make sure it's not in your socks. Put on your socks. Make sure your socks are wicking. They will draw the moisture away from your feet. And see how it works. One of the things you have to do is you have to find out why this happened and try to prevent it. Michelle?
So, Matt, one of the things that came to mind when I read this is that this race, of course, is in February. I assume you were training in the cold weather in January to get ready for this race. And when you start training all year long, you're going to run into some of the things that you'll run into in Florida races in the warmer weather up here. So if you train in July or August, for example, in the Northeast, you're going to have these same issues that you would have in Florida in terms of humidity and blisters and things like that. So your training is really a learning process. And it's good, I think, to remember that the training isn't just for one race. It's for really the whole year and all the different types of races, so that I know when I step into my closet, I'm looking at what's the temperature, what's the precipitation. And I have lots of different clothes and lots of different things that I do, because on my training runs, I've made those mistakes and I've run into those things. For me, the Body Glide is something that really helps with blisters. Since I, even walking around Walt Disney World, the parks, I used to get blisters, and now I just put Body Glide between my toes, all over my feet, really. And I've never had that problem. So I think your training is what teaches you what mistakes you can avoid when you're actually running. And training all year long will help you prepare for the different types of weather you're going to see at Walt Disney World.
Well, Michelle, we've covered a few questions, and we're going to stop right here. And
are we closing up the mailbag, Mike?
Closing up the mailbag. We will come back with more. I know that there are some questions out there that are still waiting to be answered, and we want to get to everyone.
Can we remind people how to submit questions?
Yes, we can.
Okay.
You can send them to questions@mickeymilespodcast.com. You can also put them on Facebook. You can also...
at the Mickey Miles Podcast Facebook page. Yep.
That's correct. And you can also send them to us on Twitter.
Yep, at Mickey Miles Pod.
Mickey Miles Pod. So those three
options
are there. And please send them. I know that as we get closer to January, there may be a lot of you who are getting ready for that big weekend and may have some questions for us, and we'll do our best to get to them before January. We've got a lot of traveling to do over the next couple of weeks, and so we're trying to catch up as much as possible. So please send them in as soon as you have them.
Thanks for your questions, everybody.
So for Michelle Scribner-McLean, this is Mike Scopa saying we'll see you on the road.
The Mickey Miles Podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at MEI-travel.com or mousefantravel.com.
And by All-Star Vacation Homes, who are offering a last-minute Orlando vacation special. The special runs from September 22nd to December 19th, and you would get a fifth night free when you stay for four nights. That's right. To take advantage of this special, call 1-866-385-5384. And for more information, you can visit them at allstarvacationhomes.com.
Thanks for joining us on today's episode of the Mickey Miles Podcast. The Mickey Miles Podcast is not affiliated with, authorized, or endorsed by, or in any way officially connected with Run Disney, the Walt Disney Company, Disney Enterprises, Inc., or any of their affiliates. We hope you enjoyed listening. Our discussion continues on Facebook at facebook.com/Mickey Miles Podcast, where you can give us your comments and feedback on the show. You can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/Mickey Miles Pod. And if you have any questions for us, you can send them to questions@MickeyMilesPodcast.com, and we'll try to answer them as soon as possible. For all of us here at the Mickey Miles Podcast, this is Rick Gregg saying until next time, thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the road.